Our text for this morning will be taken from our gospel reading in Luke chapter 3. What do you think about when I say the word wilderness? And that's a generic enough word that you can think about a lot of different things. For me, there are two images that come to mind. One is of Utah. You know that Aaron is living out there now. And we went a couple months ago in order to visit him. And we took a ride up into the Wasatch Mountains. And boy, talk about wilderness. It's beautiful. But there's one road in and one road out. And you're, as you're going along the way to begin with, you know, there's not much, but you know, you'll see a few houses now and then. It's open range for cattle, and so you might see a cowboy, you know, herding back a couple of steer that had gotten loose and were wandering off and bringing them back. But the further you get in, you know, it just there's no signs of humanity at all, except for the hikers, you know, who are coming or going. And you just, you hike up some of the mountains there and you look out and it's beautiful. Miles and miles and miles of just beautiful, beautiful territory, wilderness. The second image that comes to my mind is that of Israel. A couple years ago, I had the privilege of going there. And one of our stops was down in Jericho. And we spent some time there, but we moved from there then up to Jerusalem. And in order to do so, you have to go through a portion of the Judean wilderness. Talk about wilderness, man. A couple houses here and there, some scrub brush, but mostly just rock. You know, nothingness other than that. Wilderness. And of course, the people in our text for today, when you would mention the word wilderness, that's what they would think of. Because, you know, most of them, if they're coming down from Galilee and making their way to Jerusalem, they go through Jericho and then, you know, up the way, and they pass through that territory. They knew all about it. And of course, it will also then remind them of their history and their faith. Because a big part of their history as a people was the wandering of God's people in the wilderness for 40 years. God at that time had called his people out of Egypt, called them out of that cultured life, so to speak, out of a place where there was much food available for them, but it was also a place of slavery and bondage for them. God calling them out of that, into the wilderness, to Mount Sinai, where God makes a covenant with them that they would be his people, calling them out to something new and something different where God was doing a great work. Wilderness then also secondly brought to mind for them a time of testing, a time of discipline, a time of discipleship, of learning. Because here they were, 2 million people traveling through the wilderness. And how were they to be cared for? Where would they find food and water for that many people? And sometimes it was a challenge. But they had to learn to trust the Lord. And that's what God said. I brought them out here for that specific purpose. That they might learn that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And so it was a place, the wilderness for the people of God is a place of learning, of growing, of discipleship. But not only is a wilderness about coming out, but it's also about entering into, because at the end of those 40 years, God's people then crossed into the promised land. Crossed into something new. What God was doing began in the wilderness, but then he brought them into the promised land. And you know, the Old Testament prophets, they understood those themes. And they used those themes as in later days they would continue to bring the word of God to his people. Just a few examples very quickly this morning. There are many. But from Isaiah chapter 43, God said, "Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. I will give water in the wilderness, rivers in the deserts, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praises. You see what God is saying is that he's going to do a new thing, and it's going to begin in the wilderness. And there God is going to provide for his people. And again, if we jump to Hosea, not a book that we read an awful lot, but an important message. Again, from chapter 2. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. There I will give her vineyards and make the valley of Achor a door of hope. And there she shall answer as in the days of her youth, as at the time when she came out of the land of Egypt. And in that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband, and no longer will you call me my Baal. For I will remove the names of the Baals from her mouth, and they shall be remembered by name no more. And I will make for them a covenant on that day with the beasts of the field and the birds of heavens and the creeping things of the ground. And I will abolish the bow, the sword, and war from the land. And I will make you lie down in safety. And I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in steadfast love and in mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. So you see what the prophets are doing with this whole idea of wilderness and being called out and being brought into. Yeah, they're talking about this work that God is going to do, a new era that's going to dawn. And that God is going to draw his people to himself. And it's going to be in the wilderness. And he's going to do a new thing with them. And so the people in Jesus' day, you know, when they heard that something was happening in the wilderness, they understood. For those people who were seeking the kingdom of God and knowing God's word, when it said something was happening out in the wilderness, it struck a chord with them. And so it was that John the Baptist comes bursting onto the scene. And where was that? Well, it was in the wilderness. Again, in Luke chapter 1, you know, as it's telling about this child who was born to Sarah and Elizabeth and Zechariah. And the child that's prophesied over, who is John the Baptist. That little story ends this way in order to prepare us for what is coming. It said, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the days of his public appearance to Israel. John was out in the wilderness. Before his ministry ever began, he was out in the wilderness. But then we come to our text for today. And what do we hear in verse 2? The word of the Lord came to John in the wilderness. And then Luke quotes Isaiah chapter 40. Just to make sure that we understand who this figure is that he's talking about, this John out in the wilderness. Who is he? He's the one that Isaiah the prophet spoke of. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. And how do the people respond? They come out. They come out of Jerusalem. They come out of the city, just as God's people years earlier had come out of Egypt into the wilderness where God was doing a new work. So now the people come out of Jerusalem, out of that cultured area. They come out of their their sin, their bondage that they have. They're coming out to this new thing that God is doing in the wilderness, because they're beginning to perceive that God is beginning the work of his salvation and his kingdom is coming to them. And so it is that John calls to this. He calls them to come out. He calls them to leave behind this world and their worldly cares, and to come into this new thing that God is doing, the kingdom that he's bringing into their midst. And so this new thing that God is doing is marked with baptism. Because you think about it, Israel's coming out from Egypt through the Red Sea, and they're entering into the promised land through the Jordan River, they're marked by water events, right? Where the seas are parted and they walk through on dry ground, both at the Red Sea and at the Jordan River. And so too here, as John calls the people into this new era that God is bringing about, there's through another water event, that of baptism. And this baptism, it's for or to, the Greek can be translated either way, for or to the forgiveness of sins. It's about purpose, for, it's also about result, to. This whole new thing that God is doing is about forgiveness of sins. It's about being a new person, a new creation in Christ. And they are going to discover, as this kingdom comes upon them in Jesus Christ, what this is all about. What this newness of person, this new creation is all about. And so the people are baptized. But it's not a Christian baptism. They're not baptized in the name of Jesus because they don't know that name yet. They are not baptized into the triune God because they don't understand that concept of God yet. They will, but not yet. So this baptism of John is a preparatory baptism, akin to our Christian baptism, but it was meant to be in preparation for. John says, get ready. God is about to do a new work. God is coming to you. Get yourselves ready for that. And he quotes Isaiah the prophet. The topography of life needs to be changed in order for this new thing to happen. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight his paths. Every mountain shall be filled, every hill shall be made low. The crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh will see the salvation of God. Quite naturally, then, the people understand that life is going to change. When you submit yourself to baptism, when in faith you embrace this new thing that God is doing, that yes, you believe that God is coming, that this one is preparing the way for the Messiah to come, and there's going to be a great new thing that God is doing. When you submit yourself in baptism to that way, you understand that life is going to be different, that life is going to change. And so they say, well, what shall we do? John says it's pretty simple. It's not earth-shattering. Be generous and kind people. If somebody doesn't have a coat and you have two, give them one of yours. If they don't have food and you have enough to eat, make sure that they have something to eat. You see, it's just, this kingdom is about mercy and kindness. Don't be greedy. You know, if you have the chance to cheat and overcharge, don't do that. Be fair. in your business dealings. If you have power and authority, don't abuse it. Don't take advantage of other people by the authority that you have just because you can. Be God's agents in this world of mercy and love. So what does all this have to do with us? About you? I mean, so far we've talked historically, right? About what was going on. But now the message is being brought to us here today. So what does it mean for us? Well, we too, through John the Baptist, are being called to make ready the way. That we would see that God is doing a new thing and God has come to us with his kingdom. And you see, that's really what Advent is all about. Advent is about this idea that God has come, that his kingdom has broken into his world, that it intersects with our lives. And so the message we hear through John the Baptist is again to make ourselves ready to receive that kingdom anew as God comes to us. And so our Advent is a celebration and observance of what God has done. And we are getting ourselves ready as we celebrate once again the fact that in the person of Jesus Christ and his birth, that God is doing something new and he's broken into this world of ours. And it makes our lives different. And so John's call is to make yourselves ready. Prepare the way. And again, that means a change of topography in our life. You know, the way needs to be made straight. The crooked ways, you know, get rid of them, make the way straight. Fill in the valleys, lower the hills. And how does that happen? Just as John did for those people back then, through repentance. Through repentance and the receiving of the forgiveness of our sins. John called them to baptism. He calls us to remember our baptism. No, our baptism is not John's baptism. It is Christian baptism. We are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. But the same kind of thing happened for us. Just as they were called out of one thing and into another, so too in baptism we die to our sinfulness. We are called out of that and we are raised to a new life in Christ. We are called into this new thing that God is doing. And so we remember our baptism. And it's not just a past event, but as we gather here in the confession of our sins today, how do we begin? We began with those words that were spoken over us in our baptism in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We are remembering that baptism. We are submitting ourselves once again in holy baptism to this new thing that God is doing. And we're saying, yes, I acknowledge that God's kingdom has come in the person of Jesus Christ. And I submit myself to that. And along with that baptism, then we also understand that life is going to be different. That your life is going to be different as a person because God's kingdom has entered into your life. And so it means things like living in love and in mercy towards others. Right? What are the commandments all about? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's just as simple as that. No big feats. You don't have to go around the world. Don't have to do some great work. But it's simply about giving somebody a drink of cold water when they're thirsty. Food when they're hungry, if they don't have any and they cannot get for themselves. Clothing for those who do not have it. It's about not cheating, being honest in your business dealings. It's about not abusing your authority, but using the things that have been given to you, whether it be material things, or whether it be the power and the authority, in a loving, merciful, godly way towards other people. That's the kingdom of God that is broken into our midst. It's the kingdom of God that we receive from Jesus Christ, that he lived himself and gives to us. And you see, that's what Advent, at least the second Sunday of Advent, that's what it's all about. Once again, preparing the way for the coming of the Lord, that we might receive anew his kingdom that comes to us. In Jesus' name, amen.